It's just a matter of us gaining offensive confidence. That's what we need right now more than anything. When you're not hitting like that, the whole vibe is very difficult to push in that real positive direction. It's difficult, especially this time of the year. We just need that offensive epiphany somehow to get us pushing in the right direction. And we do that, I really think, based on what they have left pitching-wise, going back over there, and what we have, I kind of like our chances.
Joe Maddon, Cubs manager, I kind of like our chances.
He always says that.
Come on, Joe. I believe. All it takes is one tonight. Let's make it interesting. Mark DeRosa, former Cub, two-time division champ, played in playoff games at Wrigley Field. Also was an Indian in 2009, 15 years MLB, and now an MLB Network analyst. Joining us on 720 WGN. D-Ro, thank you for taking time, my friend. Can they turn it around? Momentum can be a powerful force, I'm thinking, in the playoffs, and the Cubs know losing three in a row well. How do they flip the switch? Can they do it in your mind?
I really do think they can turn it around because of the guys that are going to get the ball. I mean, you start with Johnny Lester tonight outside of probably a guy like Madison Bumgarner. Who would you rather give the ball to with your life on the line, but then John Lester? And then if you can go back to Cleveland with Arrieta, he dominated in game two. And Hendricks has been the best pitcher in the National League from start to finish. So I think it all sets up. The bottom line is these are five-inning games now. With Andrew Miller and Shaw and Cody Allen, the way he set it up, Terry Francona, this offense better find a way to scratch across some runs, because it's amazing how they've just been stymied. Just some bad at-bats. Understandable at times, a lot of young players, but at the same time, that was the whole mantra of Joe Maddon, is we're too young to understand. Well, you're not too young to understand that you got to have a better approach at the plate, but give credit where credit's due as well. You're not getting that normal fifth, sixth, seventh inning reliever. You're getting monsters coming out of the pen at you.
Mark, I know what that feeling's like when you get into a moment when you are young and you don't think about it during the regular season, but we're talking about the World Series here, man. It's no joke.
100%.
One thing that scared me coming into this series was when you looked at that Indians starting pitching and just, with Kluber, all those guys just trying to figure out, will they be able to hit? Because that's my biggest issue. Now this team kind of has gone ice cold, but a guy for me that last series was unbelievable, Javi Baez, though, 2-for-17 in the World Series. Can he get things going? Because at the plate right now, he's resorting back to last year, Javi, and not the guy that I saw early in this postseason.
Yeah, it's a great question. Because if you tell him to revert or do anything to change him right now, it might stymie him even more. I don't know if you can do that. I think all you can do is try and hide him at the bottom of the order and hopefully he runs into something, because he is one swing and a bat away from nuking the ball onto Waveland Avenue. That being said, he's also been in a position bottom of the ninth with two outs where all you need is a base hit. Easier said than done, but the approach, he was trying to hit a three-run bomb when all you needed was a bleeder to right field. It's interesting, man. You don't want to take away these guys' moxie and what got them here. This is a 103-win team. They've been so good for so long. So I don't think you want to take it away. But at the same time, you sign here, at least for me, I signed here knowing full well you want to be on the team that gets this done. This team's, they've been so great all year. I hate to see it slip through the cracks. You give credit where credit's due. Cleveland has done well, but I feel like they are one. I need Chris Bryant to put some in the seats tonight, because I'm telling you, if you've been in this ballpark, they went down 3-1 last night. Coco Chris the other night gets that knock in the seventh to make it 1-0, and you can just tell the tension and just the waiting for something to go bad just kind of permeates over the whole field, and kind of, that can't help but get into the dugout a little bit. So I'd like to see, I know they got the lead last night, but I'd like to see Chris Bryant do something on an offensive standpoint that really gets the boys going.
See, man, Mark DeRosa, former Cub, joining us right now on 720 WGN. I asked Kerry Wood the same question, because I remember game one, you guys in 2008, you were the best team in baseball. And you were up 2-0 early, And James Loney had a grand slam, and the stadium went completely dead. And I thought it mattered. I just, like, you have to feel that you're a human being, right? I mean, you're saying yes. I think, which is why when people say I'm a lunatic, I'm walking around the park saying like, hey, let's go, stay up here. You being in this park does have an effect on the players. I'm not saying you can hit for them, but you do have a small part in it.
Yeah, I really believe that. I know when we went to the postseason, Lou Piniella, you know, he called the team meeting. He's like, hey, guys, we can't win this for the 100 years. We can't win this for the guys down the street's grandmother who passed away. I get all that. But you know going in, that's why you're here, period. You didn't come here to not be. You be on the team that gets it done. You want to be immortalized. That's why I feel like the stadium. But to be honest with you, from an offensive standpoint, we haven't given the fans much to get fired up about. So, and you know they're 5-inning games. You know Andrew Miller's lurking. That's amazing what he's been able to do. But I still do think, I mean, they had a great approach against Trevor Bauer in game two last time. He's on, you know, 87 pitches in 3 1/3 or however long he went. He didn't get out of the fourth inning. It sets up for them to have a big game. It sets up for John Lester. David Ross will be behind the dish tonight. He will control the whole momentum of the game. I feel like, man, Wilson Contreras is back picking every base known to me. He's throwing to places I didn't even know catchers can throw to. It just seems like every play, these young guys are trying to really do too much. It'd be nice to get some veterans out there, battery mates. Just slow everything down. Let's relax. Let's win one game at a time.
By the way, who hit that home run in game one in 2008?
I don't know. I blacked out. I think it was me. But
D-Row, you put it in the seats in game one. That's a memory right there. Just for the record, I should have mentioned that when I brought it up. Anyway.
You guys got me thinking right now. I'm not going to go too far ahead. Let's just say, Mark, let's talk about tonight, all right? Or the rest of the series, win or lose, right? How does it help some of these young guys, though, moving forward when they talk about this window being open for this organization and this group, for them to go through what they go through in these growing pains, seeing what they went through last year, getting beat by the Mets to this year, how much more do you think the growing pains to be able to help them, this is going to help them for long term? Because everybody looks at this window of not just one World Series, but this could be multiple over the next couple of years.
Yeah, the experience definitely helps. There's no question about that. I think for me, the more times you get to the dance, certainly you're going to break through. I always said this in 2000, it's not the best team that always wins the World Series. I was on some great teams in my career with the Atlanta Braves, the 2008 Cubs, you name it. But when we went to the postseason in 2010 with the San Francisco Giants, we had great starting pitching, but everything went our way. Every ball bounced our way. You got to get a little luck involved. What Terry Francona has been able to pull off here, I mean, I try to manage these games, you know, and play Monday morning quarterback on our shows. I thought with a 2-1 lead, no offense going, they were able to squeeze a win out in game 3, 1-0 on a Coco Chris knock. And then I thought, well, he's going to pull back Kluber now and save him for full rest. He runs Kluber out there on short rest, which could have totally backfired on him. It could have been 2-2 with Lester on the mound, and the whole thing could have been totally different. Not the case. I mean, the Cubs' bats haven't gotten going, and Terry Francona comes out smelling like a rose as of right now. So we'll see. They're one swing away. I just think if any team's capable, you can sit there and put it on paper. You can't ask for more than Lester, Arrieta, Hendricks. You really cannot ask for it to set up any better. I did say this on the air last night, though. Who's this doctor? Because I need Kyle Schwarber in the lineup tonight.
Right. Well, you're going to have him in 6 and 7. I mean, right now the Cubs look like a better American League team, I guess, right? I mean, you want that guy in the five hole or wherever you're going to bat him. I guess it doesn't matter. Mark DeRosa, MLB Network analyst. I don't know. I mean, I think they're right not to play him in the field, not clear by the doctor. You'd be crazy to put him out there, but I think that lineup does look a whole lot better in 6 and 7.
Nah, I know. They won 103 games. It was just amazing to watch what he's done. The 6 months, that can't be understated. just for him to have the ability to come in, track pitches in a ball league, and then to step up. And it wasn't so much him getting hit. That was just like icing on the cake. It was the fact that he was taking pitches. He was seeing a lot of pitches. I mean, yeah. through the first two games, it was Napoli, it was Anthony Rizzo. You know, those guys see a ton of pitches. You had Kyle Schwarber, right? And he hadn't seen a live pitch since the fall league facing some Double A kid. That was pretty impressive. So it's sad that he's not in the lineup, but they've dealt with that all year, and they've won 103 games. So they just need to relax.
D-Row, what about tonight, though, with Lester and this Indians team that likes to run, man? With that, definitely tonight, that could be a factor.
It could. It hasn't been a factor all year, though. I think we overblow it. Don't get me wrong. You could see with a 3-1 lead, Terry Francona might unleash the hounds and just say, whoever gets on base, let's run. But Joe Maddon's done an excellent job of creating bunt defenses that keep the ball out of John Lester's hands. I've seen Anthony Rizzo crashing. I've seen Javi Baez acting as the first baseman. He's gotten really creative with the way he attacks the bunt defenses to keep the balls out of their pitcher's hands. So it's tough to steal first, man. Johnny Lester's he's a bad dude. So I expect him to be on the attack, especially against the guys that once they're on are going to take off on him. But I hopefully don't see that being a big deal.
Mark, have you had any conversation on MLB about Joe Maddon being outmanaged in this series? I mean, Terry Francona is getting a lot of love. That, to me, though, seems like over the top to say he's outmanaging Maddon. I think he's doing a great job, but to say, like, he's dominating Joe, that just doesn't seem right.
Yeah, I don't think that's a fair statement. What I appreciate, what I think the players appreciate, is Terry Francona understood that he was going into the postseason undermanned. Without Salazar, without Carrasco, I mean, that's two-fifths. That's two-thirds of the top of your rotation. And he unleashed bullpen fury on these guys from Boston to Toronto, the way he's done it, the way he's manipulated. And give credit to the guy like Cody Allen, who the minute Andrew Miller was traded over, went into Tito's office and said to him, hey, whatever you need me to do, whatever role serves the team best. So you've got two guys willing to check their ego out the door and bounce off each other the way they've done this postseason has been pretty special.
Hey, knowing how it played out here, that if you're the Cubs and you're playing the Indians and you got to face Andrew Miller, if you could rewind time and you make a deal where Kyle Schwarber's a Yankee and you have Andrew Miller, do you think you win the series? B, would you even make that deal?
You know what's crazy? I like to play GM. April or May, spring training, I would have seriously contemplated that deal. There's not a question. That just shows me, that screams to me that, you know, he screams, Kyle Schwarber screams American League type bat. No, kind of positionless, can absolutely mash though. But that just goes to how much Theo absolutely loves this guy. I mean, he's got 40 homer potential. He's got batting title potential. Man, I'm sure they've been offered everything under the sun for him, and they've turned it down. So they got way bigger plans for him than I think he even realizes.
All right. We'll see him on left field next year. He'll do the best he can. D-Row, we loved having you in town, man. You were great to the fans. You were great to the media. You were a phenomenal player here. Should never have been traded to the Indians. I won't bring that up, even though I just brought that up, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Both my heart.
Yeah, I believe it. It was awesome having you here. But 15 years MLB, that's not too bad. And you're doing great work, man. We love watching you.
Hey, thank you, man. Kid W tonight. I know I'm supposed to be unbiased, but I'd like to go back to Cleveland and see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Hey, you can watch Mark live tonight from Wrigley. MLB tonight, 5:00, plus MLB Network's going to have live coverage following the game.